Tzaharaim Tovim Rabotai. So, just continuing the series that we've been talking about. So, back to our topic of Basar Shani Ta'ali Min Ha'ayin. Yeah, quick 30-second or less intro. Yalla, Dabir. Where are we holding?
We have three...
Well, more general. Basar Shani Ta'ali Min Ha'ayin.
Basar Shani Ta'ali Min Ha'ayin is when there is unsupervised meat that let's say there were a Jew turned around and anything could have happened to the meat if there was a non-Jew that was there. What is that meat allowed to be eaten or not?
So we're speaking about all sorts of. Yes, there was a gzirat chachamim. The chachamim were concerned that if a Jew leaves meat unsupervised, either through delivery or deposit or whatever it is, with a goy, or like we said yesterday, not only a goy, Basar Shani Ta'ali Min Ha'ayin also applies to
wine.
He said hashud. That he eats machalot asurot. Now, not necessarily all machalot asurot, but machalot asurot that derech anashim, everybody knows this is treif. You know, like we spoke about yesterday, there's a similar idea by Edut in Choshen Mishpat, something that's called, I don't know if you learned Baba Mitziah recently, has to do with Parashat HaShavua Mishpatim. By the way, Parashat Mishpatim is home to almost all of the halachot in Baba Kama, Baba Mitziah, Baba Batra. Yeah, you realize, Parashat Mishpatim.
The Rubah is based on one single pasuk.
No,
Vadai. And Gittin
and Kiddushin? No. Gittin and Kiddushin is in Kitese. Parashat Kitese. But most, Dine Nezakin is in Parashat Mishpatim. First, primarily. Mikon Makom. So the Gemara says there are certain Isurim. If a person does Isur, Nia Pasul Aidut. What's Rasha? Rasha is a Ba'al Averot. Now, it's an Alacha Meforeshet, Shulchan Aruch. Chosh Mishpat, Siman Lamed Gimam. Maran says, a person who doesn't avera midoraita becomes pasul la'idut midoraita. A person who does avera midrabanan becomes pasul la'idut midrabanan. One. It's pretty heavy. Mikashe la'idut. Yeah, that's why in certain circles, in Am Yisrael, if you want to be mechabed somebody by chupa, by kiddushin, what's the biggest kavod that you can give to somebody by a wedding? Ooh, mesale kiddushin. That's great, but it's only saying a bracha on the chatan's behalf, which by the way, according to the Gemara and the Gaonim and most Rishonim, it didn't used to be like that at all. Who used to make the bracha? The chatan, miskin, the chatanim throughout history, chalashim. So they wanted to not put him on the spot, so they said, okay, you know what, get somebody to say the bracha on your behalf. There's some people in Yeshivat Kisei Rachamim today, the Talmidim, the Shiva holds that the Talmidim, they say it themselves. They don't have Mesedir Kiddushim. They have, Rav supervising, whatever. But the Chatan himself makes the bracha. Put that aside. You don't have to be kasher to say a bracha on behalf of somebody else. For Shomea Ka'one, you can be motzi somebody even if you're not the most kasher. What do you have to be the most kasher for?
Edut.
To be an ed, tzach lakachat ed kasher. This tshuva, Magaon Chatam Sofer, he says that any time a person is called on to be an ed or to be a dayan, beforehand it should be mitvadeh. Mitvadeh ana, lachzor b'tshuva. Why? Because there's not. How can it be that a person is, if one avera passes you for being an ed, in edim b'amisa. There's no more edim because everybody's got averot. Anybody who doesn't have averot, aval ma, you can be chozer b'tshuva and rectify it. Therefore, says the Chatam Sofer before, if you're called upon for an ed, if a person knows that he has major, major averot on him and with intense tshuva necessities and stuff like that, abstain. Allah Yirei Shamayim won't touch Aidut. You know why? Not Ra'ui. They feel that they're not Ra'ui. But if a person is going, at least be Chuzer B'Tshuva before, so that at least you can clean the slate and be Kasher B'Asherusha. So that by Aidut, the Gemara has a concept of La Mashmelo in She'i Sura, which means there's certain Averot that even if a person does, it's so, unfortunately, so widespread that people don't take it as such an avon. For instance, like the Gemara tells us at the end of Baba Batra, says Rubam begezel umiotan ba'arayot vechulan ba'avak lashonara. The Gemara says most people have done or engaged in some sort of gezel, whether it's outright or white collar, blue collar. Most people engage in gezel. Minority of people engage in arayot, and everybody engages, says the Gemara, in avak lashonara. So the question is, it's a very good shayla. If a person engages in avak lashonara, is it pasul aidut? So technically, if he had din, For sure. But what, there's certain averot that because a person doesn't really, you know, it doesn't register on the averot Richter scale that this is a really big sin, right? Like the Gemara tells us in Metzi'ah Davar. The Gemara says, by lo tachmod, belazuze la mashmelo ninchi. Which means, one of the aseret ha-diberot, is a parasha. Last week, lo tachmod, you're not allowed to have chimda. Now what does that mean? The Gemara learns out, what does it mean not to covet? It means to...
desire.
You know, desire your friend's thing. In Baba Metziah explains that in order, how you aver the Yisur of Lo Tachmod, what do you have to do in order to be aver?
Your heart. It's one in your heart.
Nope. Nope. Do something about it. Pursue it. Actively, physically pursue getting that guy's thing. Which means, you know, trying to convince him to give it to you or whatever, or even to sell it to you. Now the Gemara says, Be'emet, even if he ends up selling it to you because you made him crazy because of your desire, because you coveted it, you have transgressed lo tachmod. But what, says the Gemara, that doesn't passel a person from shvuah, right? Because the Gemara also talks about people who are chashud al shvuah, person who does all sorts of gizin and stuff like that, you can't give him a shvuah because we're afraid he's going to lie. The Gemara says he's still kasher l'shvuah. He can still make a shvuah. You know why? Why can he still make a shvuah? Because people don't look at, if I did that as lo tachmod, they say what? I bought it. He sold it to me. Yeah, therefore what? He doesn't feel betoch tocho, even though he did, you tell him, alo, asita isur, you did isur lo tachmot. He doesn't feel like he did an isur because he paid for it. Yeah? When was the last time you paid for something and you feel like you're doing an isur? Know what I'm saying? So, it's a similar thing over here with regards to ne'emanu, to make a person, to make a Yehudi, chashud on ma'achalot asurot, it has to be a situation where he's eating ma'achalot asurot, not that people kind of like, yeah, okay, but you know, there's a lot of people who are not makpin on yashin. There's a lot of people who are not makpin on b'dikat ulaim the way they should be. There's a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, and still they consider themselves, and the velt would consider them still what? They keep kosher, you know what I'm saying? But there's certain things that there's a red line. You know, if you cross that red line, if a person eats nevelot u'trefot, you're done. Yeah, if a person eats chazir, you're done. Huh? No, shefta. Yeah. Person is gamal. You know what I'm saying? Now he's in, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Gamal. That's already not, those kind of things, that's already Yisrael chashud on ma'achalot asurot. The dinim of basar shenit alim min ha'ayin apply to him as well. Now, continuing, we spoke about yesterday a bunch of different solutions to basar shenit alim min ha'ayin. How many do we have so far?
Two.
Okay, talk to me. Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, we said is chotamot.
Yes.
Shulchan Aruch said you need two seals.
Yes.
The masad you need one.
The avad. Yeah. Okay.
And then we had tviut ayin.
Tviut ayin is what? Recognition.
Yeah, you have to take a mental picture of your head, or we even said, yeah, take a mental picture of your head.
Or if it's a way that only Jews cut or prepare this kind of food. Okay, Hana.
And three, we said...
you can say, Gandhi. Only Jews make Gandhi this way. No. Persian Goyim also make Gandhis, no? Yes or no?
Sure, but are there Persian Goyim ingredients?
I don't know. Huh? Well, I mean, if it was in L.A., you'd have a lot of Persian Goyim. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Okay, weiter.
Third one we said was mirtzat.
Yeah.
We said if you, for example, it's a fear factor. So if you like put a camera there,
yeah,
you know they're going to be afraid. They don't know exactly when you're going to come home, the housekeeper.
What kills the mirtat? What removes the fear factor?
If they know when you're coming home, yeah.
Okay. Now, if you, or even if they don't know when you're coming home, but you tell him, I'm going to be out for a while. If you just go in and out, you could be out for a long stretch. But what? They're always anticipating you. So therefore, there's still that yir'ah. There's still that mirtat. But once you say, see ya, yeah, I'll be back in a while, I'll be back in an hour, whatever it is. So over there, the goy loses that element of mirtat, and it's going to be asur. Or, what else can make you lose the element of mirtat?
When it's routine.
Routine, the Bach says, yeah. If they get to know your schedule, that you're out of, you know, you and the whole family are out for, you know, regular American household. You're out from, you know, parents go to work or to learn. The children go to school, whatever. So everybody's out of the house from 9 to 3. You know what I'm saying? Oh, wow, yeah. Great Yotzev Nichnas. No. Okay. Now, what else kills the Mirtat? Locked out. Yafe. If he's so good. Now, how do we say to avoid lockouts? If the Jew has a key or the code, that's not considered a lockout because you can always come in. Now, we spoke about yesterday cameras.
If he can lock it or if he does lock it?
If he does. Now, there's another very, very important and ambiguous solution to Basar Sheni Ta'alim Min Ha'Ayin that Maran throws in at the end of the Saif, and we're going to have to kind of crack down on it. This is actually brought down from a Tosfot, okay, in Masechet Chulin. Now, Maran ends off and he says like this. Ve'im eno nehina b'chalipin. If he does not benefit from the trade, from the switch. Mutar b'chol anyan. It's mutar, even if you have no other factors. De'lachayshenan sheme yichlif le'achshilo, kevan she'en lo hana'a b'davar. Like we said, the only isur, the Chachamim's concern of Basar Sheni Ta'alim Min Ha'Ayin was about what? When he switch, not that he's switching it in order to make you do an isur. I'm saying, there's no, what reason does he have to do that? What's the whole reason that he would want to switch it?
Because your food
some
is
some personal gain. Whatever. Whatever it is. Your food is better. Your food is more expensive. Your food is whatever. There has to be some sort of personal financial incentive for the guy to switch it. If there is not, even without chotamot, without mirtat, without tviot ayin, without anything, it's going to be mutar. That's a very good question, because in all of the poskim, nobody comes and says, oh, look, this is enon. Nobody breaks it down, you know, textbook, what is enon ena min ha'chalipin. You really, really have to exercise judgment in what that is. Now, let's talk about some, I guess, common examples and try to analyze whether or not it's considered nehena min ha'chalipin. Delivery guy from a restaurant. Food without chotamot. Is it nehena min ha'chalipin or not? What do you think?
For example, if he has like free food anyways, what's the motive?
Well, let's say he's hungry now.
He would lose his job if he was...
Oh, yafe. He says good. What do you say?
The kosher was more expensive. Amen. If he took one fry, 1 pound,
yeah,
which you want?
Yeah, they could buy a whole meal for one papa. I don't remember where I was. But you see all these signs, it's unbelievable. You see their advertisements? Just $5, you know, for just $5. You know what you get by going for $5?
Burger, fries,
one, vizin, nuggets,
$3.
Come hochin. You get so much. Something like that, you just, a burger and a drink in a Jewish store, $15. And like this. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's disproportionate. I get it. Kosher food is obviously more expensive, and there's good reason for that. But the fact that it's more expensive doesn't necessarily mean that he wants to steal it. Afuch. The fact that it's more expensive is kind of a deterrence for him not to take it. Because if he's going to want to, I mean, it's really up in the air. But that's not necessarily, could be better. Let's say it's tastier. Let's say it's better. Let's say it's something that costs him. But Ma'or said a good pshat. Tagid ot pa'am.
What if he'll lose his job from it?
Oh, yeah.
What if he gets caught?
If he gets caught along the way tampering with the food, so that's, you know, he could lose his job, and get, you know, penalized for it, whatever it is. So I would ask you, is that in eno ne'ena min ha'chalipin, or is that in inyan of mirtat?
It's mirtat.
I think that's more mirtat, that's more of the fear factor than the factor of, you know, he stands to gain nothing by it. Now, for instance, I'll give you a situation where I have been asked several times before, and I believe that it's enon ena min ha'chalipin. Many times, if you remember, the case with the suitcase packed with meat, you know, especially for, I don't know if you know, but by Syrians have very special foods that it's very hard to get in Israel. You know that. Now, because of that, I have many friends of mine who I went to Kollel with. Every time they traveled, they filled up suitcases with meat and steaks and meze, kibbeh, and lahmajin, and all that stuff. They put it in. Yalla, send it. Now I ask you a question. TSA opens up the suitcase, and there's no chatamot. What do we say should be the halakha? Should the chaura be basar sheni ta'alim min ha'ayin? Unless you have something else, you have tviut ayin, you have some sort of chatamot on the bag, whatever. But I believe in a situation like that, what happens if they sent raw meat? By prepared foods, בוודאי, there's הנאה מן החליפין. Why? It's ready to eat, ready to go, you know? He wants to eat it. It's going to be hard for him to replace kibbes and lahmacun, you know what I'm saying? They're not kosher. When was the last time you saw a treif kibbe? You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it exists, but you know kibbes or no? Yeah, you do, Syrian food. Anyway, I had friends in yeshiva that used to walk like 2.5 miles from Demir to like, I don't know, like Ramot to get kibbes on Shabbos because it's like gas, you know? They don't run without meza on Shabbat. Yeah, Am Yisrael, the Rosh writes in the third Perek of Masechet Shabbat, he says, Am Yisrael adukim b'mitzvat onik Shabbat. Am Yisrael holds on very tight to the mitzvah of onik Shabbat. That's why in every community in Am Yisrael, they have their own their comfort foods. You know, Ashkenazim have the herring and the gefilte fish and the chalent and whatever, and Sfaradim have the kibbes and gondis and stuff. Everybody's very protective, you know what I'm saying? Don't touch my food.
I know yeah. Someone that made his mom bring him House of Subs all the way to Israel on the 10-hour flight. He missed House of Subs.
And it stayed alive?
He said it was okay. The best sandwich he had in months.
What, there's no sandwich stores in Israel, was it?
There's no House of Subs.
Not like
that. Amen. So, anyway. Yeah, so you're in Eretz Yisrael. You have Eretz Yisrael. He's thinking about Subs. Anyway, but... okay, I hear you. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's psychological also. It reminds him of home and also... I get it. Okay, so now, in a situation like that, what incentive is there really if there's raw meat? Why in the world would you want to switch raw meat? What do you get from taking it? Maybe. If it's a, you know, if it's like chashuv cut and whatever, it's like a tomahawk steak or mashu kaze, maybe. But if it's like a regular, you know, chuck or ground meat, what... What do you get from it? You know what I'm saying? Go to one of the stores, go to Western Beef or, you know, ShopRite and get it from there. Vizel, shalom. You know what I'm saying? What exactly incentivizes and take? And therefore, if Behemoth, if you think with your judgment, it seems from the poskim that it's basically open-ended and you can make the call yourself. If he really doesn't have any incentive to switch it, mutar, even without chotamot, even without mirtat, even without tviot ayin, even without any of the other hetanim that we've spoken about.
Why is it not mirtat?
Why is it not?
Why is it not?
Let's say there's not. Where's the...
It shouldn't be the same case as the delivery driver. Because he would also lose his job.
If he gets caught. But we spoke about yesterday. Let's say... they asked yesterday on the apps today, you can track him. Yeah, I don't know which one, but you can track the guy when he's driving from the store to your house. Let's say, okay, fine. Now let me ask you a question. And what if he had non-kosher meat in the car before he? You have what I'm saying? So you can still do. And what are the odds of being caught for something like that if you do a good job? So there, yes, he could lose his job, but if it's easy enough and inconspicuous enough, then why not? Now again, you're right. If be'emet, there's a situation where he wouldn't be able to pull it off in that amount of time. Or he would get caught. Or it would be tamper evident. A.K.A. Chotamot. Then Be'emet, you'd have a problem. Then Be'emet would be okay because of all these things. But if...
Why is there no rule for Chotamot? Majority of the time, they don't switch.
You're right. Midoraita, it's mutar. Like the Gemara tells us in Psachim and in Ketubot about Tesha Chanuyot. Yeah? What was the Baraita? Tesha Chanuyot Mochrim Basar Kashir. חנות אחת מוכרת בשר לא כשר. Yeah? And you find it in the street. What's the הלכה? מדין תורה. מותר, you go by the rov. But the Gemara says that afterwards the חכמים made a תקנה. No more. They were מחמיר on דין תורה. Yeah, נכון. Even ביד נוכרי. Because we say, right now, since he's out of the store, it's considered not kavua, it's considered parush. He left the place of the Isur, and therefore it's מותר. But that was only pre-gzirah. That was only before the Gzirah of Basar Shenitalim 9. After Basar Shenitalim 9, it's all over. The Chachamim were concerned that, you know, they might switch. Malasot. The Chachamim have the power to be Machmir on Din Torah. Okay, so that is that. So far, let's just quickly recap. How many solutions do we have to Isure Basar Shenitalim 9? How many?
Solutions?
Solutions. Talk to me.
We have four.
Four. Talk. Go ahead.
Chotamot.
Okay. Tviut Ayin. Mirtat. And Enon Nehena Min HaChalipin if you can safely assume that he doesn't benefit whatsoever from the switch. Now, there's another very interesting Maran right after this one, writes like this. Listen carefully. Seif Yud Aleph. Yisrael ve'ovid kochavim sheshavtu shtei kederot. Zo etzen zo. Basar shchuta, ze basar shchuta, veze basar nevela. Mutar. ואין נחוש שמק שהחזיר ישראל פניו החליף העובד כוכבים שחוטה בנבלה, אפילו אם של ישראל משובח, ואפילו פי אל מגולה מותר, ואין נחוש שמה יתזו ניצצות מזו לזו. He says, we don't have to be concerned. שנייה אחת. Yeah. Let's say in those times they didn't have their own private, you know, stovetops and ranges at home. They used to be like a public, it was called like a hamom. They had like a public oven or a public gas, and two people, let's say, and many times it used to be shared. You find this many places in Shulchan Aruch. We also spoke about in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. Many times Jews and Goyim used to share ovens. How do you do that if the Goyim's food is trash? But that's a different story. But many times Goyim and Jews used to share ovens. Now he says, let's say I come with my pot of kosher food, and the Goy comes with his pot of non-kosher food, and we put it in the oven at the same time. Even if both of them are open, let's say it's a very big oven, and there's no concern of ze'ah, which means we're not concerned of all sorts of vapors and flavors mixing together. Okay, what about basar shenitalim in ha'ayin? They're right next to each other. Even if I walk away, says Maran, you don't have to be concerned about basar shenitalim in ha'ayin. Why? Because the Goy is always concerned, since it's in a public place, the Goy is always concerned that you're going to come back that minute. So even if my food is more mishubach, even if my food is better than his, it's leaner, it's, you know, good, tasty, we're still, which means that there is hana'a min ha'chalipin, but because of the concept of minatat, the halacha is that I don't have to be concerned. Now, if I told him I'm leaving and I'll be back in an hour, that's obviously a problem, because you open the door, you kill the mirta. But just in a regular case, it would be mutat. So that's just another application of mirtat. The last thing, Rabotai, is Maran speaking about leaving goyim at home. Now, like we've spoken about in previous shiurim, leaving goyim at home is a problem for food sometimes, correct? Now, I have a whole shiur on this elsewhere, but if a person has a live-in or maid or whatever it is, that creates many problems in halakha, not only with regards to basar shenitalim in ayin, bishul akum, Shabbat. There are situations that can arise. People think that because they have a maid or a housekeeper or whatever it is, so everything's fair game on Shabbat. Turn on the light, turn off the light, do the laundry. Anu, mazi, ramir ala akum, zasur. Or, what about bishul akum? Hi, I'm going to be late from work today. Can you make the kids dinner? Now, if it's just to warm up the kids' dinner, this is it. But if it's to make the kids' dinner from scratch, what do you have over there? Bishul akum. Mazeh. This is, and people are sometimes wholly unaware that these issues exist. Mamash, wholesale. Now, basar shenitalim na'ayin, food. There's another inyan of basar shenitalim na'ayin that Maran says is applicable when you leave a goy home alone. What does he say? Listen carefully. Says Maran. Now, where would Am Yisrael be without Manan? You know, I don't know if I told you this before, but in the generation of Manan Shulchan Aruch, you know what year he was born? 1488. Manan was born in 1488 in Spain. Which means that what? When he was 4 years old, what happened in 1492? Yeah, so, well, Columbus too. Columbus sailed. He just missed the Spanish Inquisition. He was very, he knew that he would be on the hook also, so he sailed away. Anyway, the kitzer, Maran HaShulchan Aruch was 4 years old at the time of the Spanish Inquisition. He was expelled from Spain. His family traveled to Portugal. 5 years later, there was the Portuguese Inquisition, which is a little bit less famous. It was also very harsh, but less famous, paled in comparison to the Spanish one. He was again at 9 years old. He was again in Galut from Portugal. His family moved to Turkey. Okay, to the Turkey. He stayed there, grew up there a little bit. And finally, he relocated in his early 20s to Ira Kodesh, where he took up residence, and he wrote his chiburim, and finally wrote... how many chiburim did Manan HaBet Yosef write?
Four.
more. Hiburim Sfarim.
Oh,
works. Talk to me. First one was what?
No,
Kesef Mishneh. First was Kesef Mishneh on?
Rambam.
Next? Bet Yosef on?
Tur.
Yeah, then?
Debate. Debate whether it's Shulchan Aruch or like Bedike
Abayit. Bedike Abayit. Is the Yofi. And he says, you're listening to somebody Shiurim, huh?
Yes.
Anyway, the Kitzur, the Chida brings a machloket what his next sefer was. Whether or not it was the Lo Zetov Zetov Nishmar. Huh? It's his Shiur. I was just listening to him, wasn't it? Now he says, the Kitzur, Bedike Abayit is amendments, corrections, additions to the Bet Yosef. Hence the name, Bedik. A bayit. Bedek is like the maintenance of the house. Bayit is the Bet Yosef. So it's a machloket if he wrote that first or the Shulchan Aruch first. Machloket. What else did he write?
He wrote one Musah book?
Not Musah. He wrote Drushim Lefi HaKabbalah, Magid Mishneh that he learned at the Magid. He missed an important one. Shelot Utshuvot. Avkat Rochel. Okay. What else? That's five. There's more. Shelot u'tshuvot Bet Yosef al inyanei Ibn Ezer v'choshe mishpat. Also. Yeah. Now, he's got more. There's another one. There's a pasuk called Kalalei HaTalmud, written by Rabbeinu Yeshua, I forgot where he was from, but he has a perush. Marana Bet Yosef has a perush on the sefer of Kalalei HaTalmud. So he has a lot of sfarim. Anyway. In the generation of Manana Bet Yosef, there were three Rabbanim with the name Yosef that were contending for the Zichut to write the Shulchan Aruch. And they were all Ra'ul. They were all Yosef. Rabbeinu Yosef Karo, Shulchan Aruch. Rabbeinu Yosef Ben Lev. You see him in the Ktzot Alav. Mahari Ben Lev. Name ring a bell? Gaon Atzum. Rabbeinu Yosef Ben Lev. And there was another one. Rabbeinu Yosef Taichak. Was another, they were all Chachmei Tzfat, they're all from Tzfat, and they're all contending, they wanted to write this Perush. They're, all three of them were Ra'ui, but Min HaShamayim, they gave this Chut to the Bet Yosef. Rabbeinu Yosef Karo, brought down because he was Anav Me'od Mikulam. They were all big Tzadikim, big, but he was the most Anav Mikulam, so he got the Zechut to write the Bet Yosef. Yeah, Gaon Mafli, and his Anava was something that was out of the ordinary, that's why I got this book. Matasur. Chida brings it in. In Shem Agdonim. Look in Shem Agdonim, Erech Bet Yosef. We have Shem Agdonim here?
Yes.
I used to read Shem Agdonim every night before I went to sleep. Every night. It's so gishmak. It's two chalakim. Sfarim v'sofrim. Sfarim are the Sfarim themselves, based on the names of the Sfarim. Who's the Sofrim?
The authors?
The author. We went through Aleph Bet, Ezim. You get so much knowledge, history, you get who wrote the Sefer, what was life and times, very interesting fun facts. This is required Sephardic reading. Yeah, Matashah. But he wasn't in Sfat, he was in Krakow. The Rama was also writing his own Shulchan Aruch, but when he found out that Shulchan Aruch was Maran's, was printed first, he was Gunez his, and only wrote Hagahot, glosses on the Shulchan Aruch as we have it today. Is that the Shem will continue next time, Rabbatai? Bechul l'nimudechim. Huh? Bevadai shalom, we're never finished. Le'ainei chol Yisrael, bereshit bara Elohim.